A sound of scrabbling claws and a slight motion caught the corner of Prince Shizor's eye. He turned and saw one of the subnodes of the assembler Kudar Mubat, a little crab-like thing tethered by a whitely glowing neurofilament to the web's communication fibers. The subnode's mouth, nearly humanoid in size, opened and emitted words.
Your presence is desired, my lord.
Shizor ducked his head to make his way through one of the lower-ceilinged areas in the web. It was a test of his will to voluntarily return to Kudar Mubat's space-drifting web and enter its dank, claustrophobic spaces. Only the prospect of successfully concluding some long-standing business schemes was enough to entice him anywhere near the arachnoid assembler and its scuttling, scurrying brood of subnodes.
Ah, my most precious Shizor. Some light of my drab existence.
Kudar Mubat's spike-haired forelimbs lifted and waved in a grotesque parody of a welcoming gesture.
How deeply embarrassed am I to have kept one of your exquisite eminence waiting. Please accept my most humbly prostrated apologies.
No need for that.
Shizor could already feel his own patience draining away. The assembler's flowery language always irritated him, suspecting as he did that every word that came from Kudar Mubat's mouth was tinged with venomous sarcasm. He stood, arms folded across his chest.
I was told upon my arrival here at your web that important news had just been received, and that was the reason for delaying our meeting. So I take it you've heard what I already know. There's hard merchandise on its way here. Boba Fett has captured Turin Vesant.
Did we anticipate anything else?
Kudar Mubat imitated a humanoid shrug with the rising of a pair of forelimbs.
If Fett goes out after the bounty, he always collects. And a bounty such as the one that the Emperor offered for Vesant. Well.
Another shrug, slightly less exaggerated.
It was a certainty that he would go after it.
As would every other bounty hunter in the galaxy,
Shizor pointed out.
That was the other predictable part of the scheme. Even as we speak, the other bounty hunters, the few that are left of them, are still at each other's throats. There are no longer two factions of bounty hunters. The True Guild and the Guild Reform Committee are finished. Avarice has the power to accomplish such things. To turn one creature against another, who a moment before had been calling themselves family.
The corpses were already starting to pile up. Of course, that was also to Prince Shizor's liking. Only the toughest and most capable bounty hunters would survive such a winnowing out of their numbers. Perhaps there would never be another bounty hunter the equal of Boba Fett. So be it. But now there would be others, harder and more murderous. They would be perfect. Not just for the uses of Palpatine's empire, but also for that of the darker empire that lay in its shadows, that was so fittingly known as the Black Sun.
Yes, said Shizor, nodding slowly. It could have been no other way. Even if we had not made sure of the outcome ourselves.
The assembler emitted a harsh, cackling laugh that was taken up and echoed by the piping voices of the subnodes clustered around it.
Poor Boba Fett!
Overcome by its hideous glee, Kudar Mubat waved its forelimbs.
Think of how much trouble he might have saved for himself if he had known that Turin Vesant, the supposedly renegade stormtrooper, was acting on Palpatine's direct orders the whole time.
The whole thing had been a setup. And all the bounty hunters had fallen for it. Shizor knew that that had been a major part of the attraction for Emperor Palpatine, and why he had agreed to the subterfuge, as long as Shizor had put up the bounty stake from his own personal fortune. Far from being a renegade and a traitor, Turin Vesant was actually one of the Emperor's most loyal soldiers. Shizor leaned toward the assembler.
Let's get down to business. There's plenty of work left to be done. If we're to enjoy the results of our schemes, one doesn't put plans such as these into motion without creating certain, shall we say, messes that need to be cleaned up.
Shizor smiled.
The stormtrooper is not much of a problem, he continued. The fact that Turin Vesant carried out the orders that he was given and played his part in this little masquerade indicates a certain naivete on his part. That's often the case with these military types. they're trained to trust their superiors. And in Vincent's case, he was promised a great deal in addition, if he played his role well.
Really?
The assembler tilted its head to one side.
What exactly did Emperor Palpatine promise, Vincent?
Retirement. Prince Shizor shrugged. A modest pension based upon his years of service in the stormtroopers. You have to remember, very few of their number live long enough to enjoy those things.
How touching. And what will Trahin Vesant receive instead?
Leave that to me, said Shizor coldly. Vesant had become a loose end, something that had to be cleaned up and disposed of before he could create any embarrassment for those who had devised the scheme in which he had played so vital a part. Shizor had already assured the Emperor that Vesant would be taken care of, permanently.
And what about Boba Fett?
A note of amusement sounded in Kudar Mubat's voice.
Wrapping up that particular loose end might be just a little more difficult. He is, after all, not quite the same sort of trusting individual as Trahin Vesant.
That's my problem, and I'll take care of it. Shizor had already given the matter its due consideration. Unfortunately, for both himself and Boba Fett, the only possible solution was the same one that would be applied in the Stormtrooper Vesant's case. Boba Fett had one of the most carefully groomed networks of information sources in the galaxy. That was a big part of his success as a bounty hunter. Fett might not know it now, but the truth might be discovered at any moment. That it had been Prince Shizor who had instigated the Bounty Hunter Guild's destruction. To allow even the possibility of Boba Fett, with his devious mind and appetite for gain, acquiring such a damaging piece of information to hold over him, that would be madness. Too many creatures would bear Shizor a grudge then, and it would only take one of them with a stroke of luck, and all his plans for Black Sun would expire along with his own life. No, thought Shizor. The decision has already been made. Fett's silence and the bounty hunter's death were one and the same thing, and too valuable not to bring about.
I am,
sighed Kudar Mubat,
a creature given to worry. I have grave concerns about your plans for taking care of Boba Fett. Others have tried to take care of him in the past, and things did not turn out well for those improvident creatures.
That's the difference between them and me. When I take care of something, it remains that way. Don't forget, I have the resources of not only the Empire, but Black Sun behind me as well. Boba Fett has never come up against a combination such as that.
The Feline was ready to leave the web now to make sure of his other preparations.
Your only true concern, Kudar Mubat, is playing out your own role in this last stage of our plans. Fett has in his possession one Trahin Vesant, assumed to be a renegade Imperial stormtrooper. You, the assembler Kudar Mubat, are holding in escrow the bounty payment for the delivery of that merchandise.
Shizor glanced up toward one of the larger subnodes that held onto the fibrous wall near Kudar Mubat.
Is that not so?
That is a true and verified statement,
replied the subnode called Balance Sheet,
regarding certain credit funds now on deposit in this web. And that is precisely something I'm nervous about.
The subnode's creator fidgeted in its nest.
That is a considerable amount of credits for me to be sitting on. Perhaps the largest amount that's ever been here at one time in my web. I'm just too much of a target, out here alone in empty space.
Nobody would ever rob you, Kudar Mubat. Your go-between and escrow services are too valuable for too many creatures. Besides, I've stationed my own ship, Virago, close at hand, along with several other craft from Black Sun's operational fleet. Their firepower should be more than enough protection for you, until the bounty is safely out of your hands.
He turned away, having had his fill of the assembler's protests. As he headed down the shoulder-cramping space of the web's central corridor, Shizor could hear the assembler sputtering and fussing behind him. As Shizor waited in the web's docking area for the small shuttle vessel that would return him to the Virago, a small voice spoke from close by his head.
I wonder if I might have a word with you, just by ourselves.
Shizor glanced beside himself and spotted the accountant subnode Balance Sheet, dangling upside down from the matted ceiling of the area.
What do you want?
As I said...
The subnode's voice was a carefully modulated whisper.
A word with you on subjects that would be of mutual and profitable interest.
Profitable to your master, Kudar Mubarak, as well. Shizor shook his head. I'm familiar enough with how the assembler's web is constructed. Everything here is spun directly from Kudar Mubarak's own neural tissue.
Looking into Balance Sheet's bright, bead-like eyes, Shizor knew that he might as well be looking straight into the assembler's sharp, avid gaze.
I've already said to him all that I care to for the moment.
I think you have misapprehended exactly whom you're talking to.
Upside down, the subnode crept a little closer to Shizor. One of its tiny claws held up a glistening white strand of neurofiber. The strand was broken. Connected only to Balance Sheet, but not to the structure of the web.
You see, I'm an independent agent now. When you talk to me, Kudar Mubarak knows nothing of it, unless I want Kudar Mubarak to know.
Shizor regarded the subnode with suspicion.
You've managed to unplug yourself from the web. That's very ingenious of you. But how is it that Kudar Mubarak is not aware of one of his valuable subnodes having separated itself from the larger organism?
Simple.
Balance Sheet reached over and picked up another larger strand of fiber that led directly into the intricately knotted structure surrounding them. At this fiber's tip was another subnode, smaller and with claws almost too delicate to be seen.
Kudar Mubarak is not the only one here who can create subnodes. I have mastered the art as well. This is one of mine.
Balance Sheet held the tiny, tethered organism out for Shizor's inspection.
Its only function is to masquerade as me, to send neurosignals into the web that falsely indicate that I'm still attached and subservient to Kudar Mubarak. Just me. The old assembler has not the slightest clue as to any of this.
Indeed.
Shizor was impressed, both with the subnode's ingenuity and the possibilities it presented. Kudar Mubarak had been getting on his nerves for a long time now. Perhaps the assembler's usefulness was coming to an end.
You're right about one thing. And what is that?
Balance Sheet's bright, round eyes peered into Shizor's gaze.
We do have a lot to talk about.
Now, Kuat of Kuat found his thoughts returning to the bounty hunter Boba Fett and all that had happened in the past. Fett was the key to it all, the key to what had happened then and what must happen now if Kuat Drive Yards was to be saved. There were things that all the galaxy knew about that past, the story that had grown to almost legendary proportions, about the breakup of the old Bounty Hunters Guild and the things that had come about after that. The capture of the renegade Imperial Stormtrooper Tehin Versant. And what had happened when Boba Fett had gone to collect the bounty for him. Those matters were public knowledge, or at least some of them were. And other ones were secrets, locked inside the skull of Kuat of Kuat. He had to make sure they remained secret. If doing so demanded the death of other creatures, specifically Boba Fett, then that was a regrettable necessity. Business was business. Kuat turned away from his office's high, segmented view screens. It irked him that there was so much that had to be dealt with, and yet he still had to bother with distractions such as a summons to a convocation of the planet Kuat's ruling households. With a burden-laden sigh, he lifted his heavy formal robes from the carved stand upon which they hung between such events. He heard the tall doors of the office suite open. The head of security for Kuat Drive Yards stood in the angle of light from the corridor outside. Your personal transport is ready. Kuat brushed the front of his robes.
All right, he said wearily. Let's get this over with.
Fennal followed Kuat toward the docking area. I've gotten as much advance information on the meeting as I could.
From all indications, it appears that the Canaillan Elder will be there.
Kuat shook his head.
I'm surprised they managed to pry him out of his life support systems. The younger members of the family had a new portable life support system built just so the Elder could come to an emergency meeting like this.
The security head raised an eyebrow.
A very expensive system, too. It apparently has several redundant layers of first-degree droid intelligence built in, with constant real-time monitoring of all bodily functions.
Charming, said Kuat.
Who else is going to be there? The usual cabal. But this is the big one, technician. The Canaillans have been trying to overturn the inheritance exemption since before your grandfather ran this corporation. They've called in all the favors that any of the other ruling households might owe them, because they think they can do it now.
Maybe they can. Kuat paused beside the transport's hatchway.
Maybe I should let them. Then dealing with the Empire and all the rest would be someone else's problem.
He looked over at Fanald.
What do you think? That would be your decision to make.
Standing with hands clasped behind his back, the other man gave a single nod.
But it would be the end of Kuat Drive Yards as an independent corporation. No one else in the ruling families has the ability or the courage to stand up to Palpatine.
Kuat managed a grim half-smile.
I believe you're right. So, I don't have any choice, then, do I, about going and dealing with the Canaillans and all the rest of the ruling households?
No, replied Fanald.
You don't. However, technician, you are not obliged to face this particular duty by yourself.
Kuat looked back at his head of security.
What do you mean? It's madness for you to go there alone. The Knylands and the others are obviously planning some unpleasant surprise for you. You'll need all the help you can get.
Perhaps so, but that doesn't mean I can have it.
I hope you'll forgive any rashness on my part, technician, but I took the initiative of contacting the Master of Etiquette for the ruling households. Some of the Canaillans are bringing their Telbans to this gathering. The normal restrictions do not apply. Under the ancestral household code, the Telbans are technically outsiders, so to maintain strict reciprocity, the household of Kuat is thereby permitted to bring in an outsider as well.
I see.
Kuat mulled over the information. And your suggestion is that you should accompany me? More than a suggestion. It is, technician, my most urgent advice.
Kuat peered closer at the security head.
Why are you so concerned about coming to this gathering? The ruling households of Kuat are hardly an entertaining crowd. As I said before, they're up to something.
All right, said Kuat. He pointed toward the hatchway of the personal transport.
We'd better be on our way. They'll be waiting for us.
A few standard time parts later, and the pilot of the personal transport was skimming the craft over the densely forested land masses of the planet Kuat. For Kuat of Kuat, looking out at the green, organic material was less pleasing than contemplating the hard, cold shapes of laser-welded Durasteel in the Kuat Drive Yard's construction docks. One of the junior members of the Kuvolt clan had come out to meet Kuat's personal transport.
There are those among us, said Kudir of Kuvolt, who will be glad to see you. Not everyone is happy with the Knylan's agenda for this meeting.
As he walked beside her, Kuat searched the young woman's face for some clue as to her intent.
And why would that be?
Kudir's smile was more sly than friendly.
We know how the Kuat household runs Kuat Drive Yards. Your family has kept this world, one of the richest in the galaxy, for generations. Such skill deserves its own reward. That was why the inheritance exemption was passed so long ago.
She tilted her head, eyes lowered in respect.
And that is why some of us would wish to keep it that way.
In silence, Kuat walked on beside the young woman.
The exemption, he mused. That's what it all comes down to.
Alone among the planet Kuat's ruling households, the lineage of the Kuat family was passed down from parent to child by direct genetic inheritance. That was the sole intent and effect of the exemption. For all the other households, a strict disruption in the genetic chain prevailed. The heirs of the ruling households were not the children of the current adult members, but rather the Telbans that were chosen to perpetuate the line. Unfortunately, such an arrangement had begun to show its faults. When Telbans, chosen more for their physical beauty rather than the high intelligence that would produce the engineering and corporate leadership skills needed to run Kuat Drive Yards, had threatened to take the corporation into bankruptcy through their incompetence. Thus, the inheritance exemption that effectively kept the Kuat bloodline with its innate tendencies necessary for the success of the business in charge. The inheritance exemption, as Kuat of Kuat well knew, had the additional benefit of checking the viciously squabbling ambitions of the ruling households and keeping any of the world's nobles from conspiring and murdering to place an actual son or daughter at the head of Kuat Drive Yards. The Knylans, however, had long chafed under the limit that had been placed on their household's ability to rise to the absolute top of their world's power structure. Kuat strode on toward the meeting place, concealing his own grim apprehensions about what was to come. A roseate, shadowless glow suffused over the robed figures, more than 20 of them, the largest number of ruling household members that Kuat had ever seen gathered together, as the perfect opalescent dome of the meeting hall diffused the sunlight outside.
Kuat, your presence is appreciated.
The hatchet-sharp face of Kos of Knylan showed a thin-lipped, humorless smile.
I hope you enjoy hearing the words of your equals.
Kos turned away, his formal robes swirling at the heels of his boots. A phalanx of younger Knylans and their Telbans turned their smug gazes upon Kuat before following after their kinsmen. Kuat's security head gave him a discreet nudge.
Here comes the Knylan elder. The party is about to start.
Kuat of Kuat saw a flurry of activity at the other side of the gently illuminated space. The crowd parted way before something larger than a mere human figure. A vertically oriented cylinder was surmounted with the gray-bearded visage of the Knylan elder, his snow-white hair braided into 2 thick ropes looped over the shoulders of the segmented metal encasing his arms. A trembling palsy shook the vein-gnarled hands, which were restrained by flexible straps, from tripping any of the controls and gauges studding the exterior of the system's casing. Bright red arterial blood percolated through a network of tubes and oxygenating devices. The elder's age-yellowed gaze scanned the gathering faces, the eye muscles twitching in their wrinkled sockets.
Are you surprised, Kuat?
The voice emerged from the amplified speaker at the front of the portable life support system, a few gasping syllables at a time.
That I've lived so long.
Kuat walked forward and stood before the Knylan elder, gazing up at the face elevated by the machinery that had consumed the aged body.
Nothing you do surprises me.
He could hear the gurgle and hiss of the life support system's various components.
When I was but a child, and you already in the prime of your manhood, you swore before our biological mothers that you would outlive me.
He smiled politely up at the elder.
You might make it yet.
The laugh that grated from the speaker sounded like sheets of corrugated steel grinding against each other.
With your help, Kuat, as you shall see.
Spittle had flecked the side of the Knylan elder's face. The younger Kos of Knylan mounted a built-in step at the side of the life support system and reached up with a silken cloth, dabbing away the wetness as tenderly as if the old kinsmen were made of crumpled paper. From his perch on the gurgling machinery, he looked down at Kuat of Kuat. A spark of simmering contempt showed in Kos's eyes.
Nobles of this world, my fellow kinsmen,
Koss had not dismounted from the side of the Canaan Elder's life support system, but instead had climbed onto the flat area just behind the upright cylinder.
I beg your indulgence, but urgent matters have brought us together at this time. The very future of the world that we share amongst us lies in jeopardy.
Why now? Kuat wondered. Some element in the delicate balancing act of power and ambition, either here or somewhere off-world, must have altered slightly. Enough for Koss and the rest of the Knylan household to believe that they had another chance for realizing their goals.
What do they know?
Koss of Knylan gestured with an outflung arm.
Let the Elder speak.
On either side of the life support system's segmented treads, the Knylans and their affiliates turned their respectful faces up toward the Elder. The rheumatic voice cackled from the amplified speaker at the front of the cylinder. One corner of the Knylan Elder's mouth pulled downward with each spoken syllable, the palsy showing a few yellowed teeth.
What did I... were at rest forever in the tomb of those who preceded me for these many years, then that I should live to see such treachery.
The last of Kuat's patience had been exhausted. Before either the Knylan Elder or Koss, standing behind him, could speak again, he strode forward.
Don't waste my time with your cheap theatrics. If you're referring to me, then say so. And if you have charges to make, then state them.
Atop the portable life support system, Koss of Knylan directed a sneering smile at Kuat.
You wished for an accusation?
Koss gestured toward the back of the gathering place.
Bring it forth!
A three-dimensional holograph projector was wheeled by a pair of Knylan affiliates into the middle of the domed area and was activated. In the cleared space before the machinery of the life support system, light shimmered and coalesced into perceptible forms. A segment of the past came into view, as though summoned from a realm of ghost-like spirits. But the past shone was one that Kuat of Kuat recognized. He found himself standing less than a meter away from a reproduced holograph image of himself. Enough details of the space surrounding the hologram were visible that Kuat could see it had been recorded in his private working area. The holograph image was bent over a hyperspace messenger unit, which contained in turn another miniaturized holograph projector. The real Kuat watched his past image activate the projector, and another recreated scene appeared, held inside the larger one. That scene, which the image of Kuat intently regarded, was from inside the palace of the late Jabba the Hutt. With a twist of the probe in the hyperspace messenger unit's controls, the Kuat image froze the hollow scene. The real Kuat continued to watch as his past image responded to the events in the recreation of Jabba's throne room.
You're dead, aren't you?
The holographic image of Kuat spoke to the frozen hologram within hologram image of Jabba the Hutt.
That's such a shame. I hate to lose a good customer.
Just as he remembered everything else he had done back then, when the hyperspace messenger unit had arrived from the distant planet of Tatooine, and he had opened it up to hear the secrets it had brought to him. The rest of the scene played out and ended with Princess Leia Organa, disguised as an Ubi's bounty hunter, facing down the hut with an activated thermal detonator. That had been amusing to witness. Before that, though, there had been less pleasant things to watch, such as the grisly death of one of the hut's dancing girls by being dropped into the rancor pit before the throne.
You're right,
said the real Kuat, the one who now stood in the gathering place of the ruling households.
That is interesting.
Not for what the holographic playback had shown him, but for what was implied by the mere existence of the hologram and it being in the hands of the Knylans. The hologram had been recorded surreptitiously in Kuat's most private and guarded sanctuary, and then transmitted to Koss of Knylan and the other conspirators against the bloodline of Kuat. That meant a major breach of security within the organization of Kuat Driveyards, a breach that only one individual would be capable of creating.
Kuat of Kuat turned and looked over his shoulder at Fanald. His gaze was met with one that looked straight back into his eyes without making any effort at aversion. Then the head of security for Kuat Drive Yards gave a single nod. "Now you know," he said. "Yes." For a second longer, Kuat regarded the man he had trusted more than any other sentient creature in the galaxy. "I suppose I do." Many things were clear now, including why Fanald had been so insistent upon accompanying him to the gathering of Kuat's ruling households. He wanted to be here, Kuat thought bitterly, to make sure he got paid. However much the Knylans and the others had offered for this treachery, Kuat lifted his gaze toward the leader of the Knylans perched aboard the portable life support system. "You must be joking," said Kuat. "Is it treachery for me to keep an eye on one of Kuat Drive Yard's customers? I would have been a fool to have blindly trusted someone like Jabba the Hutt. You should be grateful to me for taking such precaution." "Precautions, are they?" Koss of Knylan's voice took on a sarcastic edge. "And what cautious nature of yours led to the saturation bombing of a sector of the planet Tatooine surface known as the Dune Sea?" So, they possessed that knowledge as well. Kuat's security head had done a thorough job of selling him out. "That's none of your concern," said Kuat stiffly. "Some things are necessary, the reasons for which cannot be revealed publicly. As long as Kuat Drive Yards is a profitable concern, and you reap your share of those profits, all prying into these matters does nothing except hinder my running the corporation." "Ah!" Koss leaned forward above the grizzled head of the Kanilan elder. "You wish to keep secrets from those closest to you, those with the greatest right to know."
"So you bribe your way into my private quarters," Kuat gestured toward his former head of security, "and you set spies onto those who have done you no harm."
"I do what is necessary," replied Koss. "If it were what is required to uproot the evil that has taken root amongst us, I would embrace the darkest energies that could be found in this universe. But you've already beaten me to that, haven't you?"
"You talk nonsense."
The brows rose high above Koss's eyes.
"Is it nonsense to wonder about the meaning of not only Kuat's own espionage, but also an unexplained bombing raid upon the surface of another planet? A planet which rumors have already been swirling about throughout the galaxy. This certain planet, known as Tatooine, had already taken on a great importance in the eyes of both Emperor Palpatine and the most feared instrument of his will, Lord Darth Vader himself. And it is no great feat of espionage to have learned that the Rebel Alliance has gained a new and valuable leader in the form of one Luke Skywalker, whose home planet is this same Tatooine. Are we to believe it a mere coincidence that of all the inhabited worlds in the galaxy, the schemes of Kuat should also revolve around Tatooine? Or is it not a greater likelihood that those schemes regarding which Kuat asks us to trust him have gotten our own world and our inheritance fatally enmeshed with the struggle between the Empire and the Rebellion? Kuat has also concealed from us that he has received other messages from Tatooine concerning the welfare of a certain notorious bounty hunter named Boba Fett. This bounty hunter may have also been a customer of Kuat Drive Yards at one time, but he's rather more than that now.
Koss jabbed a finger toward his adversary standing before the portable life support system.
Is that not true, Kuat?
The breach in security was more extensive than Kuat had originally feared. The Kanilan household had obviously been in touch with intelligence sources elsewhere in the galaxy, and had paid for what they wanted to know. That meant there was a good chance they had traced out a few more connections that Kuat would have preferred to keep hidden. But what exactly had the Kanilans found out? That remained to be seen.
Since you seem to know so much,
Kuat's hand swept a gesture toward Koss,
why don't you tell us what is true, or what you think is true?
It's not a matter of thinking, Kuat. It's a matter of knowing, or knowing enough to be concerned about where your schemes have led us to. For is it not also true that these schemes also entangled you, and by extension Kuat Drive Yards, with the criminal organization known as Black Sun? You've said that you value the Empire as a customer, and yet you also had secret dealings with the very creatures who continually circumvented Emperor Palpatine's authority in the galaxy. I would call that a risky game, one that tried to play both sides against each other. That's not good business, Kuat. That's madness.
So, they don't know everything, decided Kuat.
If Kossuth K'nylan had known exactly what had gone on with the Empire and Black Sun, and even the Rebel Alliance, he would have already used that knowledge against Kuat. Some of those schemes, such as Kuat's attempt to link Prince Shizor, the leader of Black Sun, with the Imperial Stormtrooper raid that had killed Luke Skywalker's aunt and uncle, had gone beyond all reasonable concepts of risk. Yet they had been necessary as well as part of Kuat's calculated campaign to eliminate the threat that Shizor represented to Kuat Drive Yards. The scheme had failed. Kuat had already admitted that to himself. All his efforts now, including the bombing raid on Tatooine's Dune Sea, were concentrated on eliminating the evidence of that scheme before the truth of it leaked out to Emperor Palpatine. Maybe I'm too late. If the K'nylans had gotten wind of even these few scraps of information, there was no telling what Palpatine, with his vastly superior intelligence organization, might already be aware of. Very well. Kuat of Kuat had heard enough from Koss of K'nylan. The state of the K'nylans' perception of his secrets was clear. I don't care to tell you more than you already know. If you believe these matters constitute treachery, and if you've convinced enough of the other ruling households that that is the case, only one question remains. What are you going to do about it? Koss of K'nylan tempered the severity of his voice. Kuat of Kuat hides from us that which we most need to know, and that which would absolve him of suspicion if his actions are indeed blameless. All he needs to do is dispel the darkness that he himself has created. And then our objections to the way he administers Kuat Drive Yards will melt away like dew upon the forest's leaves. The last bit of poetry was accompanied by an unpleasant smile. What say you, Kuat of Kuat? The temptation was great. To divulge exactly those things that Koss and the other K'nylans demanded to know. Tell them, thought Kuat grimly, and let there be an end to it all. Upon the heads of the K'nylans and their affiliates, the blame would be as heavy as it was upon his own. Why should he be the only one to be crushed beneath this burden, when all shared the benefits of his constant unsleeping labors? He could feel the words splitting open his heart and rising to his tongue, the intricate details of his schemes forcing their way to the light. Tell them the truth, thought Kuat, and give up any hope of success, any chance of survival, of saving Kuat Drive Yards from its enemies. That was the problem, the trap in which he was caught. Information flowed both ways. Anything revealed here would quickly find its way to those who would be even more interested in discovering the details of Kuat of Kuat's schemes. What burned inside Kuat was the awareness that the cost of his failure would also be paid by Kuat Drive Yards. The corporation would cease to exist as it was absorbed into the fabric of the Empire. A choice such as that which Kuat faced was no choice at all. Better to maintain silence, he decided, and take whatever accusations they want to throw at me. I keep my own counsel, Kuat answered aloud. Koss of K'nylan smiled as he nodded. That is exactly the answer I expected from you. That all of us who have chafed under your unbridled power thought we would hear from you. With both hands outspread, Koss gestured toward his followers. Rather an obvious majority, isn't it? And they've appointed me to speak for them. They have sworn oaths of liege fealty to the K'nylan bloodline.
Ah, is that so?
Kuat stroked his chin as he looked round at the wall of faces, then back up at Koss.
Those oaths from the other ruling households are not sworn to you, but to the person of another. Kuat gestured toward the ancient, withered visage of the Kanilan elder. Should he not be the one to state the charges against me? And the one to pronounce whatever retribution this world's heirs demand? A moment passed before Koss replied. Just so, he said, his expression even more murderous than before. On the raised platform atop the portable life support system, he took a step backward, still letting his hands rest upon the shoulders of the metal-encased elder. If it is your wish to hear him speak, then that is something easily granted. The Kanilan elder's head raised in a gesture indicating Koss standing above.
He speaks the words that I would speak. He speaks.
The last word seemed to be forced out of the elder's mouth by sheer willpower.
With my authority, doubt him not.
And is that your understanding as well? Kuat looked across the faces of the Kanilan's affiliates, ranked on either side of the life support system's machinery. You listen to Koss of Kanilan because he speaks for the elder of that household? He received a few nods from the affiliates. One of them, the Kadnesi elder, spoke up.
Our loyalty is to the Kanilan elder. He received our oaths long ago. But if he wishes his heir to speak for him, we have no objection to that.
The Kadnesi elder peered sharply at Kuat.
Do you?
Not at all, said Kuat. Your oaths are sacred, and I respect them. But let us see if everyone honors them as I do. He strode across the small distance between himself and the portable life support system, one hand reaching up toward the controls visible on its front panel. Before he could lay his hand upon the portable life support system, another grabbed his shoulder and pulled him around. The former security head for Kuat Drive Yards pulled him close against himself.
I know what you're trying to do.
The former security head's expression was set grim and tight as he reached with his other hand inside his jacket.
I didn't sell you out to these people just so I could watch you defeat them.
A glistening vibroblade appeared in the former security head's fist. Kuat shoved the butt of his palm hard against Fernald's chin, pushing the other man's face to the side. With his forearm, he blocked the thrust of the vibroblade at his ribs. The blade slashed downward across the sleeve of Kuat's robe, parting the heavy fabric and slicing a millimeter-deep wound, precise as a surgical incision, along the back of his arm. The fist holding the blade slammed up into Kuat's solar plexus, knocking the breath from his lungs and forcing him a step backward. That gave the former security head enough space to draw his arm back and aim a slashing, fatal blow with the weapon straight toward Kuat's throat. The blow never reached its target. Gasping in sudden shock and pain, Fernald dropped the vibroblade, clattering it spun across the floor. His fingers clawed at Kodir of Kuvolt's forearm, jammed hard against his windpipe. With the same move, Kodir had thrust the point of one knee against the former security head's spine. His shoulders arched backward in a tense bow, his greater weight balanced against hers. Before he could respond in any way other than pure, unthinking reflex, Kodir's free arm swung her fist into the man's temple with enough force that the crack of bone was audible. The whites of his eyes rolled upward behind the trembling lids. When Kodir let go of him, he crashed unconscious to the gathering place's floor.